MRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Virginia notches more than 100 measles cases this year, largely due to an outbreak in Buckingham County. Prosecutors in Page County and elsewhere vow not to enforce a new ban on so-called assault weapons. And the war in Iran and the resulting shortages and rise in prices presents new challenges for local farmers. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, June 11th. Virginia has surpassed more than 100 reported cases of the measles this year. It's according to the State Health Department. The Virginia Department of Health's measles dashboard, which is updated every Tuesday and Thursday, is now reporting a total of 106 measles cases. All of the new cases this week are associated with the recent outbreak in Buckingham County. Blue Ridge Community College and Harrisonburg City Schools signed an agreement Tuesday to establish a career academy. The Daily News Record reports that the partnership will allow the school division's students to take classes at the community college and also earn career certifications. HCPS Career and Technical Education Director Jeremy Aldrich said that 80 of the city's juniors and seniors will participate in the fall pilot year of the partnership. The program could double next year. Course options for the pilot program include healthcare, human services, and early childhood education. The partnership comes as HCPS concludes their affiliation with Massanutten Technical Center. After next school year, the division ended its partnership with Rockingham County Public Schools to govern the vocational school last year. Several prosecutors around the state, including in Page County, have vowed not to enforce a new law banning the sale and manufacture of weapons referred to as assault firearms. In the meantime, gun sales are up, and local gun shop owners are trying to figure out how to navigate the restrictions. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
Steve's Archery and Guns inhabits a 2,800-square-foot building behind a house in the town of Shenandoah. It's packed floor to ceiling with guns, ammo, scopes, holsters, bows, knives, fishing gear, tree stands, clothing, more and more.
And then I got a ton of rifle scopes in that showcase here on the floor, here on the counters right here.
Owner Steve Rogers has been in business since 1983.
Everything right there is night vision scopes and everything, and then all that shotgun ammo right here is duck hunting and goose hunting and all that. I sell a pile of that stuff. Then you get into the archery again, you got all your compound bows, you got all your arrows.
He also teaches hunter education courses for the Virginia Department of Wildlife Resources.
Majority, I'd say probably 95% of my business is hunting business, not so much the ARs.
As in semi-automatic AR-15s. AR stands for Armalite Rifles.
But, you know, I don't knock anybody. If, you know, if you like to go out here and go bang, 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 shoot your money up in the bullets or whatever, that's fine. And we've got people all over Virginia that are not really hunters, but they like to go shoot skeet. And they got these.
Rogers has seen his sales double so far this year, as word got around about proposed gun control legislation that Governor Abigail Spanberger signed into law last month. WJLA reports that background checks for gun sales in Virginia more than doubled last month compared to the number filed in May 2025. The new law that's gotten the most flack from Second Amendment advocates, a so-called assault firearms ban, prohibits the sale and manufacture of certain semi-automatic guns. It was introduced in the House of Delegates by Dan Helmer, a Democrat representing Fairfax County. In a firearms subcommittee meeting in January, he said,
"Weapons similar to those I carried in Iraq and Afghanistan should not be trafficked in our Commonwealth. I think the high-capacity magazines that so oftentimes have been involved in instances of mass shootings that lead to mass death should be removed from Virginia."
One citizen who spoke in support of the bill, Lori Haas, became a gun violence prevention advocate after her daughter was shot twice and survived the 2007 Virginia Tech massacre.
"Using weapons of war and high-capacity magazines increases the body count. That's people. That's children."
The law applies to semi-automatic guns with magazines that hold more than 15 rounds, or have a variety of other features such as certain grips, a collapsible stock, or a threaded barrel that accepts silencers.
The people that are writing these bills don't even know the working parts of a gun. They keep saying assault rifle. Well, in all my 11 distributors that I deal with probably hundreds of thousands of guns, there's not one gun that's listed as an assault rifle. I guess You can take a 2x4, and I guess that'd be a assault 2x4.
This shotgun right here is actually a turkey that's used for turkey hunting. So because it has that type of grip on it like that, they consider that assault rifle or assault shotgun.
Roger's shop is in one of a dozen or so Virginia counties where prosecutors and sheriffs have called this new law unconstitutional. Page County Commonwealth's attorney and Marine Corps veteran Chapman Good wrote a letter opposing the ban, which circulated on social media. He said hunting and gun ownership are a way of life in the Valley.
It is a necessary part of a sort of free society, gun ownership, so that the people are ready and able to defend themselves as they see necessary, as long as they're law-abiding, responsible citizens. And that's the way I was raised. My dad's been a deputy for 42 years here in Page County, and he instilled in me how important it is, you know, how important gun ownership is and the rights of the people to be able to own guns.
He believes the Supreme Court of Virginia will strike down the assault firearms ban and a public carry ban that makes it illegal to carry one of those weapons on a road or in a nature area open to the public.
The Supreme Court was clear in Miller all the way back in 1939 that common use firearms cannot be restricted in this way. The estimate that I saw is there's more than 30 million AR-15s in the United States. That seems like pretty common use to me.
He also points to Virginia law, which outlines a state militia consisting of all able-bodied citizens between 16 and 55 years of age who could be called into service by the governor. I asked him about the argument that guns with high-capacity magazines in the hands of private citizens enable mass shootings.
I have a difficult time accepting the fact that some people misuse something, therefore other people should not be able to use it. And I think that is a poor way to govern. People get drunk and drive all the time. It's a constant issue of public safety that every community deals with. But we don't take away alcohol and we don't take away vehicles, right? We just make it illegal and we arrest those people.
Rogers says until the courts settle the matter, he just won't sell some of his inventory starting July 1st.
They don't know what's right and they try and take our rights away and everything. I can tell you right now here in the Valley, we're a different breed of people than in the cities. I mean, we like our guns and we like about what's right and wrong.
How the judiciary sees it will be determined through active cases filed in county circuit courts and the federal courts. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
Find photos from this story and links to more information at WMRA.org and on our app. If Dominion Energy merges with Florida-based NextEra, it would be the largest public utility merger Virginia has ever seen. Lawmakers gathered in Richmond Tuesday to grill Dominion leadership on the $67 billion all-stock deal, which could see management of half of Virginia's energy move outside the Commonwealth. Radio IQ's Brad Kuttner has more.
Dominion Energy Virginia President Ed Bain defended the proposed merger with the Sunshine State's NextEra Energy, saying, among benefits, it would offer a $10 a month rebate to Virginia ratepayers for 2 years. He also said similar mergers may end with negative impacts. Bain called them, quote, synergies. But
that's not the case here. If you look at NextEra standalone, if you look at Dominion Energy standalone, there's growth in both businesses. And so this is a combination of two growing companies.
But some legislators on the Virginia Energy Commission were not so easily swayed. Among them was Democratic Delegate Rip Sullivan, who authored Virginia's Clean Economy Act, a 2020 law that aims to reduce the Commonwealth's reliance on fossil fuels.
It is still Dominion's intent to comply with the requirements of the Clean Economy Act?
Absolutely.
And NextEra knows that and agrees to that as well?
Absolutely.
And you can speak for NextEra on that?
Absolutely. And as I've said, I'm going to be here as well. So I'm still your throat to choke.
Bain also stressed NextEra's commitment to renewable energy and its recent success with battery storage, a priority for expanding the use of wind and solar. Democratic Senate Majority Leader Scott Surville expressed concerns about the merger's intent to keep a fully staffed headquarters in Richmond like it currently does.
Will there be some synergies of some group down the road? Probably. But as you think about who's here today, part of the Virginia utility serving the customers within Virginia, I would expect the vast majority of people to be here way beyond those protections.
The two companies said they plan to file merger documents for the Virginia State Corporation Commission in the third quarter of this year. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Virginia Congressman Don Beyer wants to know more about the environmental impacts of artificial intelligence. On Tuesday, the Northern Virginia Democrat introduced a bill with Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey that would require AI data center operators to share information, including electricity and water usage, pollution data, and other impacts on the environment. It would also order the Environmental Protection Agency to do a comprehensive study on the industry. A similar bill failed in 2024. Agriculture is Virginia's biggest private industry, The war in Iran has caused a significant uptick in fuel and fertilizer prices, impacting farmers who rely on them. WMRA's Aisha Pirga reports.
According to a report by the United Nations Trade and Development, one-third of global maritime fertilizer shipments pass through the strait, as well as around a quarter of the world's seaborne oil.
The increase in fertilizer and fuel costs will impact everybody eventually. Fertilizer is put down for virtually every crop that's out there. And what we do is mostly organic, but we do use fertilizer in some applications in some areas.
Doug Paw is the owner of Paw's Farm in Clicksburg. They offer
beef, chicken, eggs. We have peaches, blackberries, rhubarb, strawberries, elderberries. We have a little bit of everything here.
Paw says that almost all of the farm's tractors use diesel.
When it comes to fuel costs, every time you start up your tractor, that's going to be more expensive. So especially for cattle, the hay that you have to buy in or make is going to be far more expensive than it was last year just because the fuel price is low.
Paul says that when fuel prices increase, then everything becomes more expensive.
You know, we don't make the feed for our chickens. We buy it at the feed mill. But of course, that feed goes up because the farmers who do harvest the crops that's turned into that feed are using more for diesel. So they'll be charged more for it, and we'll be charged more for it. And then, of course, we have to pass it on or else we'll go out of business.
Jessica Hall, the co-owner of Harmony Harvest Farm in Weir's Cave, says that they had to absorb the additional cost of fertilizer.
I actually just had to go purchase fertilizer yesterday, and it had doubled since I had last purchased it, which makes it really difficult since we have already set our sale prices for our products for the year. So we just have to absorb that additional input cost.
Harmony Harvest is a cut flower farm, and Hall says they are seeing fewer online orders from their retail customers.
We ship flowers nationwide, and so shipping costs for us to ship out our bouquets have increased exponentially. So we are seeing fewer orders go out the door for our retail customers. And then on our local deliveries, we have an increase in costs that we have not yet passed on to our customers for our local delivery route.
But she says there are also new opportunities in the current trade landscape.
In our industry, because so many flowers are imported into America and rely on air freight cargo to come into the U.S. and are now also affected by heavy tariffs, the cost to get them here is exponentially higher than my produced costs, even now with the increased cost of fertilizer and fuel costs.
Shores Chakravarti is an assistant professor with the Southern Piedmont Agricultural Research and Extension Center, which is a part of Virginia Tech. He points to several factors affecting farmers right now.
I would say farmers are not used to such sudden price increases. And secondly, their interest rates are high. Third is this volatile environment, like thinking about the future.
He says they've also suffered from droughts in recent years. And in the current planting season, he says farmers
may not be affected as much as we are thinking by the fuel price increases or the fertilizer price increases, because they have already paid for those costs. The problem is what will happen next, especially the next year's growing season or the season that's coming after this.
He points to data showing that the percentage of farmers who have pre-booked fertilizer purchases in advance of planting season is 19% in the South, which includes Virginia. But Chakravarti believes that if the situation normalizes, prices for fuel and fertilizer will decrease.
If we look at the historical data, say, for example, the Russian invasion that happened in 2022, the increase was very steep in fertilizer prices, but eventually it came down.
However, Chakravarti does point out that back then, the interest rates weren't as high as they are now.
With trade, the world is more connected, so there are always ripple effects that are felt across the world. So a decrease in production here or a decrease in production in another country might translate to differing impacts by country.
The ripple effects of war are felt globally with economic, agricultural, and human costs. For WMRE News, I'm Aisha Pugam.
You can find a longer version of this report, plus links to more info and photos at WMRA.org and on our app. Senator Tim Kaine has introduced a bill in Congress that would establish a grant program to address the national teacher shortage and better support early career educators. The Virginia Mercury reports that the bill titled the Better Education Through Mentoring Act would support K-12 teacher and school leader induction programs. Kaine told reporters last week that the bill is designed to reduce turnover rates. The senator has introduced similar bills in the past. If enacted, the bill would pair early career teachers with experienced mentors. Research cited in the bill shows that comprehensive mentoring programs improve outcomes for educators and students. The Mercury reports the program could also benefit students of color and those in rural areas who are likely to be taught by inexperienced teachers. The program would require funding to offset the cost of mentors' time spent with new teachers. The proposal did not include an estimated amount. Finally today, the South Anna River in Dawswell is now home to 750 new neighbors with shells. Patrick Larson with VPM News reports from knee-deep waters.
We're about 9 miles upstream from the former Ashland Mill Dam. The structure blocked migratory fish from coming this far upriver for 200 years.
And that was particularly problematic for freshwater mussels.
That's Joe Wood, chief staff scientist at the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. With the fish went the mussels. They start life as parasites, latching onto gills of host fish and catching a free ride upstream. The dam was removed 2 years ago, and the fish are back. The Bay Foundation and biologists are jump-starting the mussels' return by tucking 750 captive-grown specimens into the riverbed with care.
Yeah, it's not every day you get to bring a species back to hundreds of miles of river where they've been extirpated.
Wood says they filter pollutants out of gallons of water daily and create habitat and food sources for other river residents.
Patrick Larson reporting. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. And I hope you enjoy your Thursday.